You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
Maranatha Assembly International, a church of worship, the word and healing.
Welcome to the Living Word Radio Broadcast, brought to you by Maranatha International, a church of worship, the word, and healing. Join us for our Sunday services from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. For locations and to sow a seed into this radio ministry, visit our website at maranathainter.org or call 561-383-6574, 561-383-6574. Now, stay tuned for today's message.
Maranatha Assembly International, a church of worship, the word and healing.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastor David Ewers with Maranatha International, a church of worship, the word and healing. I greet you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I am so thankful that I have the opportunity to come to you and to this basically teach you through this precious word, the wonderful word of God that gives us instructions in the way that we should go. Now let us pray. Father God, I thank you for your presence. You said in your presence, Lord God, there's fullness of joy. Father God, we honor you, Lord God, as our Heavenly Father. Daddy, we know, Lord God, that you're such a wonderful Jehovah. And Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Father God, for the people, for this audience, Lord God, that are listening intently. We pray, Father God, for those that are sick in body. We declare, Lord God, divine healing. We pray, Lord God, for those that are seeking direction, that you may order their steps, Lord God, according to your word. We pray, Lord God, Father God, for those, Lord God, that are maybe bogged down, Lord God, with the pressures, Lord God, of this world. And Father God, that you may give them the peace that passes all understanding. Pray, Lord God, that for your anointing, Lord God, upon this time, that your perfect will, Lord God, will be done, that your kingdom will be established, your will be done. And Father God, we ask all these things in Jesus Christ, and we pray. Amen. Well, once again, I thank you so much for the time that I can sit down with you and just kind of go through this word. I know that we have some even new listeners that are listening, and we want to welcome you. Like I said before, I'm Pastor David Ewers with Maranatha. My last name is spelled E-W-E-R-S. If you're going to look me up on the YouTubes or the Facebooks. Also, you could look at us at Maranatha International. Actually, maranathainter.org is our website where you could look us up. And or you could call us at 561-383-6574 for further information. I guarantee you that if you come to one of our services, you'll never be the same. Like for instance, this Sunday, I want to invite you to come out and to worship with us at 10 a.m. And the information is on our website, or you can call us for additional information. Now, as you know, we've been talking about teach me how to pray. I believe there's a lot of people, though, even people that are listening right now, you may have prayed, and you prayed, and you prayed, and you don't see any results. You may have asked God for certain things, and it seems as though your prayer just kind of hit the ceiling and came right back down. I want to address those young people that are listening, the listening audience, that even no matter what you go through, if you just put God first and just understand the ability of how to pray and to be persistent in your prayer, that God will bring you through. That single mom or that single dad, continue to pray. But also to listen and to get to information as far as like how I should pray. And that business owner, and just for the people of God that are listening, maybe a pastor that's listening, just be encouraged that this net, you may go through some storms, but the Lord said he will never leave you and never forsake you. Now, what we've been doing is that what we've been teaching you on the topic, teach me how to pray. But you said, Pastor, but I know how to pray. You know, let me ask you the question. Have your prayers been producing results? Do you get answers to your prayers? The scripture says in Jeremiah 33, verses 3, it says, call unto me, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things. The reason why we're not seeing the great and mighty things is because we're not calling unto him. We're not praying, or we're not praying appropriately. It's important that we understand how to pray. So in the last couple of series, what we've been doing is this, going over this topic of how to pray. And I believe collectively what my goal is that this will birth something inside of you to pray for yourself, to pray for your family, to pray for your community, to pray for your church, pray for your pastor, pray for the leaders, those set leaders that God has placed in our government, pray for your I was about to say prime minister because I'm from Jamaica, but it's pray for your president. Glory to God. It's important that you pray for your president. Now, what I'm going to do today is that we're going to, under the preface of teach me how to pray, I'm going to talk about persistent prayer. Persistent prayer. A prayer that does not give up. First of all, let's define the word persistent. From the Webster's Dictionary, persistent means continuing firmly or obstinately in course of action in spite of difficulty or opposition. Let me say that again. It means to continue firmly or continuing firmly in a course of action in spite of difficulty or opposition. No matter what has been faced against you, you continue and you persevere until something breaks, until you see the manifestation of what you've been praying for. It's also defined as the ability to stick with something, to pray until you see a change in your life. Now, we understand that prayer is a very powerful tool that God has given unto us. We looked in, for instance, like in Acts chapter 5, Acts chapter 12, verses 5. It shows when the church prayed for Peter. We understand that Herod, he killed James, and then he was getting ready to kill and to execute Peter. The scripture says, but the church prayed, and they continued prayed. They exhibited a persistent prayer. And while they were praying, the angel was dispatched to where Peter was, removed the chains from off of Peter, released him out of prison, brought him back to where prayer session was being made. And there you have it, the power of prayer. We also see in the scriptures with Elijah, the scripture says that he prayed and he affected the weather system. In other words, what he did is that he stopped rain for 3.5 years. Think about that. We go, say, 3 months, 4 months, 5 months without raining, and we kind of get worried. But it did not rain for 3.5 years. And then the scripture says that he prayed again, and then he calls the rain to start again. Also in Acts, we see when they prayed, the place shook. Why is it not that we are not experiencing powerful prayers, powerful results from our prayers? Could it be that we are not praying properly, or we're not praying persistently, and we're not praying the way that God has prescribed for us to pray? Now, first of all, let's describe or define what praying is, the word praying. There are many Greek words that describe or define praying. But I'm just going to give you one. It comes from a word, proskuneo. And it means to pray to God, and it means pray earnestly for. If you take that word and you cut that in half, pros, P-R-O-S, is where you get the word forward, or the side of, or near to. You ever heard that scripture? Draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. Side of, or and to the other word, eukamei, it means a wish or to will. So you put those together is where you're literally praying the will of God. Praying the will of God. Now, when you look at prayer, prayer is not just coming into his presence and just asking him for things, asking him for stuff. But if you look at it closely, prayer is communing with God. If we were to define it now, we're defining the word prayer. And then we're going to put praying and persistent together. Prayer means communing with God, spending time with God, fellowshipping with God, with your Heavenly Father. And then in that fellowship, we have worship. Oh God, I worship you. I praise you. In that fellowship, we have thanksgiving. Father, I thank you. I just thank you for being such a good God. In that prayer, we have praise. And also in that fellowship, we have an asking, or when we have a petition where we ask God, hey God, would you please help me in this situation? Where you're asking the supernatural to become a part of you and to now change your situation. So praying is a tool that God says it's a place where you can get to know the character of God, the word of God, the will of God. Now, it's two things to keep in mind. There's a lot of scriptures, but it's two things I want to extract from the word of God that while you are praying, to keep these in mind. The first scripture is Matthew chapter 19, verses 26. Matthew chapter 19, verses 26. Catch this now. It says, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Wait a minute. I know you don't really mean that, God. You mean all things are possible? What do you mean? What about the cancer? Maybe the doctor just diagnosed you with cancer. You're trying to say that even cancer, God can remove cancer from my body. He can remove diabetes from my body. He can restore a dead relationship. He could turn around my life as a young person. He could turn around my business as a business owner. He could turn around the very lives of my son and my daughter as a single mom, a single dad. Yes, all things are possible. So when you're praying, keep this in mind. The word possible is where you get the word dunato. It means powerful or capable or strong. The second scripture I want you to catch, and just kind of hang on those on these scriptures, is Mark chapter 9, verse 23. The scripture says, if you can believe, in other words, have faith, have a trust, reliance, put your confidence in. If you can believe, all things are possible to who? To the one who believes. That's a lot of things. You mean all things are possible to the one who believes. So when we're praying, believe that when you're praying, that your prayer is not just you uttering words, but you're praying to a God that has a mentality that says all things are possible. No matter if you had pain in your side for years and years and years, God will remove that. If you just pray and just ask God just to remove it and have the faith for it. Now, persistent prayer is one thing that I believe that God wants us to catch as we're developing and we're kind of knowing how to pray. Let's look at Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 8. Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 8. And I'm going to go ahead and start reading it while you're still turning. And it reads, it says, then he spoke a parable. A parable is a comparison or a similitude. A parable is what you can use an example and give a particular story to give clarity to what you are saying. So then he spoke a parable to them, meaning the disciples, that men always ought to pray and not to lose heart. In other words, he says, men always ought to pray. Yes, we're praying. But then he says, but not to lose heart, not to faint, not to lose courage, not to be discouraged, not to take up the white cloth and just throw it on the ground in frustration and says, man, my prayer's never coming to pass. No. Always ought to pray and not to be discouraged. And then he now gives an example of this parable. In verse 2, it starts out by saying, there was a certain city. Very clear. That means there was literally a certain city. He's not just giving a fictitious type of story here. He says, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God. I want you to catch this now. He did not fear God. He did not regard man. He did not respect anyone. He was considered an unjust judge. Third, but there was a widow in that city, and she, And she came to him, meaning to the unjust judge, saying, give me justice for my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God, catch this now, he said, I don't fear God, I don't regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest her continual coming she weary me. In other words, this woman was persistent. This woman was continuing firmly in a course of action in spite of a difficult opposition. The opposition in this part was the judge that didn't want to comply with what she was requesting. But because of her consistency, because of her persistence, it overcome the resistance. So, in verse 5, it made it very clear. So the woman, it says, because this woman troubles me. What this actually means, or it gives the idea, if it means to hold near or to present or to exhibit. The woman came and placed an exhibit before this unjust judge and did not stop. She went to Walmart. She went by his house. She did not. She just kept on coming. She just kept on coming because there was no plan B. It was either you answered this prayer or nothing else. So this woman continued and continued until the unjust judge gave in and says, I have to give you what you're requesting. And then Jesus gave an example, says, hey, that was an unjust judge. Look at me. I'm a just judge. How much more would I give you if you were just persistent? You gave up that second week. You gave up that second day. But you continue to pray. You continue to be persistent. Be persistent. Now, why being persistent? Why was the persistent in this widow's case able to bring forth results? Because her continual coming, she would weary him. That word weary, if you were to look on the word weary in the Greek, it comes from a word hupo pedadso. Hupo pedadso. It means to hit under the eye, as if a fighter was hitting someone under the eye, to disable an antagonist, to tease or to annoy into compliance. In other words, she kept on coming. She kept on hitting the unjust judge with a blow until he dropped to his knees and says, hey, I have to give you what you've been asking for. So that kind of gives you an idea of the consistency in our prayer. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17, it says, pray without ceasing. Pray without stopping. It says, Pastor, how can I pray without stopping? I mean, I go to bed. I eat my food. How can I pray without stopping? It means that we have to be in a continuous mode of prayer, of praying and not ceasing. Not necessarily the physical as far as like you opening your mouth and praying, but now you're in a mode that says that I'm in a consistent mode of praying and asking for God. Now in Ephesians chapter 6 verses 18, it also gives you the idea. It says, praying always with all prayers and supplication in the Spirit. So now let's go back now. When Jesus now was praying, we see a disciple who was watching Jesus as he was praying. In Luke chapter 11 verses 1, we see where the disciples came to Jesus. And then he asks Jesus a question here. Let's read it. Luke chapter 11, verses 1. It says, now it came to a pass as he was praying, Jesus was praying in a certain place. So he had a designated place where he prayed, a prayer of solitude. When he ceased, meaning when he stopped, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us how to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, say this. And we're very familiar with the Our Father's prayer. Also in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9, we see it picks up from this question that was asked, teach me how to pray. And now it says in verse 9, it says, in this manner, therefore pray. In other words, in this way pray. So there, Jesus is saying that there is a way that we should be praying. There is a way. And I gave examples in the past, a couple of messages or teachings, where when we come to our Heavenly Father, we have to now know that we are coming not just to a man, but we are coming to our Heavenly Father. So when we come to God, the first thing that we do is that we don't open up our mouth and say, give me this, give me that, give me this, give me this. But you address your Heavenly Father who is in heaven. Address him. Address him by his name. Glory to God. It's very formidable so to know that when you come to someone, you can actually use their name to get their attention. Say, hey, David. Hey, how you doing there? Yeah. And he gets your attention. But when you come to the Father, you come to him with the proper protocol. You say, our Father, Daddy, Abba Father, Heavenly Father, however you want to address him, but address him with respect and honor. And then the second thing, it says, hallowed be thy name. Before we ask him anything, we come to him with adoration. Lord, you are such a wonderful God. Man, you're such a beautiful God. You're wonderful. You're holy. You're glorious. I respect you. I honor you. There's none like you. Who in the heaven is to compare to you? See, you basically use the word of God to God to speak to him in his own language. And then it goes on to say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You notice that in this prayer, before you get to someone asking for a request, give me this day. Lord, these are my supplications. These are the things that I'm praying. Before you even get to that, notice that you address the Father. You adore him. You give him praise and give him worship. But also you pray that his will and his kingdom will come. So before you ask God anything, we have to understand the will of God. Before you come and you ask God for anything, spend time knowing his will. Pastor, how do I know his will? His word is his will. So the first step is that in a persistent prayer is that we have to understand the will of God. Before we ask, we have to understand his word. What does his word say? Like for instance, if you're sick in body, go through the word of God and find out his will concerning his word. For instance, you sent your word and you heal. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Christ, Jesus took my infirmities and he bore my sicknesses. Those are his will. Call unto me and I will answer you and I will show you great and mighty things. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. See, it's important to understand the will or understand the word before you ask. Because when you get the word or the will inside of you, then you're asking from a platform where it's God's intentions for you. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 17. I want you to read this with me. It says, wherefore, be he not unwise. In other words, do not be ignorant. Don't be mindless. But understand, meaning to put together and to comprehend and to consider, what the will of the Lord is. Let me read that again. Wherefore, be he not unwise. Do not be ignorant. But first of all, understand what the will of God is. A lot of times we come to God and we rush into his presence and we just ask him for such and such, ask him for, but we're not necessarily knowing his will before we come into his presence. You understand that whatever Jesus did, he did nothing unless he did what hit the will of his Father. In John chapter 6, verses 38 and 39, it's not to do my will, my own will. In John chapter 4, verses 34, it says, my meat is to do my will. So Jesus was always looking to do the Father's will. In John chapter 5, verses 19, said, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father. Now, so before we ask, we have to know the will of God. Now, God's word is his will. Let me say that again. God's word is his will. So before we ask, we have to have a better comprehension of his will. Now let's look at St. John's chapter 15, verse 7. St. John's chapter 15, verse 7. And I want you to pay attention to this. And I want you to go back and I want you to read it, because we're talking about this persistent prayer. In St. John's chapter 15, verse 7, it reads, "If you abide," this is Jesus speaking now, "if you abide in" who? "In me, and my words abide in you, you will then ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you." So the key is abiding in Jesus, cultivating that rich relationship with him, spending time with him, not just coming into his presence just to ask him stuff every time, but say, "God, Jesus, I just want to know you more." Paul says, "Oh, that I may know you." And then it says, "My words abide." What does that word abide mean? It comes from the word meno, M-E-N-O. It means to stay in a given place, state, relation, or expectancy. It means to continue and to remain. Could it be that the reason that some of our prayers are not being answered is because we don't understand the will of God, and we don't allow the will of God, which is the word, to penetrate our hearts and to spend time thinking about what he says and allow his word to stay inside of us? And then out of that platform of us understanding the will, then we ask and we make our requests. "My words abide in you, and you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you." Well, my time has elapsed, and I only have like almost like one or two more minutes left. So I want to pray for you. Father, I thank you, and I bless you for these people. Father God, I pray, Lord God, that they will have a persistent prayer, that they may not give up, knowing, Lord God, that the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Touch everyone, Lord God. And I pray your blessings, Lord God, upon them in Jesus Christ, and I pray. Amen. Now, that was a very beautiful session. I will hope that that blessed you, and you can extract some of the things that was said, and you will take it back to your life and apply it. Now, this Sunday, I want you to come. I know you've been listening for a while, but I want you to make a concerted effort to come. Hear me now. Come out this Sunday at 10 a.m., or also come and join us on a Bible study every Thursday. We have a conference Bible study, and I guarantee you never will be the same. 561-383-6574. God bless you, is my prayer.
Maranatha Assembly International, a church of worship, the word and healing.
Welcome to the Living Word Radio Broadcast, brought to you by Maranatha International, a church of worship, the word, and healing. Join us for our Sunday services from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. For locations and to sow a seed into this radio ministry, visit our website at maranathainter.org or call 561-383-6574. 561-383-6574.
Maranatha Assembly International, a church of worship, the word and healing.
Hello, I'm Charles Stanley. God is amazing in so many ways. One that still leaves me in awe is the fact he's always available to us. When you listen to In Touch, I pray you're encouraged to spend quality time alone with God. We'll study His Word for ways to help you enjoy a more intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. We're always in touch when we walk close to God and understand His will for our lives.
In Touch, heard daily at 8:05 a.m. and p.m. on WCNO.
Joy to